You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host for today, filling in for Drew Mandel, Michael Remus, with analyst Richard Pollock. Coming to the game, pretty much any game at this point in the season, is the biggest game of the year, and they get bigger and bigger as the season goes on and the Jets remain in the playoff chase. But this was a must-win game for the Jets. I thought the fans came out once again, and the Jets... wasn't pretty at the end there, but they managed to finish it off with a 4-3 win in overtime.
You get the win. You don't lose anything in the regulation win column, regulation overtime win column. You know, as I was saying before that we started the podcast, this is an exciting win. And I know there's some issues with the team, but the issues with the team are what they've been all year, what they've been for probably a year and a half now, and aren't going to suddenly change now. So you might as well go for the ride and enjoy it. And I thought tonight's game was exciting. I thought, you know, playing Carolina, a team that you and I were discussing during the game, Michael, like they just play, their defensemen play like forwards, maybe aside from Gleason and Jay Harrison. And it made for a fun game, trading chances, good pace, good speed, good, you know, there's a lot of good skaters out there. And I thought for a team that didn't have much on the line, give Carolina credit for bringing it tonight. Not quitting down 3-1 and handing it in like kind of Florida or Buffalo did. And just a really, real fun game. If you came to this game tonight, you're a paying customer, you got your money's worth.
Yeah, the last two games have been great for the Jets. I thought the first period was actually the most uneventful period of the game, and it just got better as it went on. The Jets started off with a few power plays. Justin Falk had a weird tripping penalty, which you couldn't really see where it occurred.
That was on, I'm trying to remember which play that was.
It was like the first shift of the game. It was like in the corner over there, and he got sent for a tripping. I mean, the Jets had a few power plays early. Jordan Staal got his first penalty of the game. He had two, both Staal brothers getting two penalties with 2:43. And the Jets had two penalties to start off in the first 2 minutes of the game, and they really couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, you know, it took them a little while. They did have a power play goal tonight, but it did take them a little while. And the power play is in the strength of this team, as you're well aware. If they are to make the playoffs, or if they do make the playoffs, then I think the stats indicate that if you're really good on the power play or really bad on the penalty kill, it doesn't necessarily impact how you play in the playoffs, because you're playing one team all the time, so you know each other's tendencies. So how you make adjustments is more important. But yeah, the Jets' power play isn't going to be what carries them into the playoffs if you look at the whole season.
No, definitely not. And the Jets get on the board 12-13 to the first. Brian Little carries the puck into the zone. He tries to dangle Tim Gleason, who makes a pretty nice defensive play, standing up. That's what you're supposed to do as a defensive. But Zach Bogosian, rushing up, gets the puck and just gives it a little poke with a stick and puts it over Peters.
Yeah, 2-on-2, that Bogosian kind of comes wide and tips the puck in, as you mentioned, Michael. His speed is tremendous. He's a great skater. Good awareness to jump into the play. I think the other defenseman on the other side of Gleason had pinched, and I think it was LaRose or somebody else back-checking there, but it ended up Bogosian came on Gleason's side anyhow, and I guess a forward got lost behind Bogosian, and Bogosian can outskate anyone. I like his taking a chance there. I like him making that move. It wasn't that risky, and it turned into a great reward, and I thought he played a real nice game tonight.
I thought the Jets controlled most of the play in the first period. You're just going by shots. They had 10 shots to Carolina's 3, and I think Carolina only had one shot around 12 minutes in or 8 minutes left. Carolina had one shot, so the Jets really controlled most of the play there.
Yeah, Carolina had some chances. Pucks were kind of, I thought tonight, Jets got lucky, and a couple of pucks were just going the wrong way for Carolina. It happened for the Jets a little bit too, but wasn't shocked that Carolina came back at the end of the game based on some of the quality shots they had throughout.
Going into the second period, obviously the Jets are up 1-0, and they just really need to do is control and maintain the lead. They started off, Chad LaRose took a tripping penalty, and then on the ensuing power play, you know, the Jets, they had a few chances. Wheeler was on a 2-on-1. He hit the crossbar. Everyone thought that was in.
Yep.
But they really kept the momentum going, and then Ole Jokinen takes that interference penalty. And on the ensuing power play by the Hurricanes, Andrei Pavlik made two just unbelievable saves, that especially that one where diving across with the paddle really kept them
save
in the game.
Save of the year. I mean, you look back now, it's a one-goal game. Sorry, the game goes to overtime. If he doesn't make that save, maybe it's 4-3. Maybe the season might be over. So he was awesome tonight. I know they came back and scored two late ones, but I thought Pavlik was left out to dry a couple of times, especially that one, made just a tremendous save.
What's remarkable is how many of those highlight reel saves that he makes pretty much from game to game. You can always count on him to make one of those wow saves.
And, you know, people talk about his percentages, and they're going to talk about this and that, but the Jets have tons of defensive errors, defensive breakdowns, and they lead to great scoring chances. And that was one of them there, and just a great play by Pavlik, athletic, and not giving up on the play. I like that, too. He didn't give up on the play. And, you know, he is able to reward the team with just a great save. I thought it got energy in the building, and the crowd was in love with Pavi tonight as they chanted his name numerous times.
Numerous times. I said to Hustler on the warm-up show the other day, when they chant a Pavi, it reminds me of them chanting a Cabby or even a Chevy, going back to the Jets 1.0 days.
Cabby or Chevy, that's right.
I loved Chevy back
then. The real Chevy.
The original Chevy.
Tim Shovelday.
So Jordan Staal takes his second penalty of the game at 6:30 into the second. And the Jets, this is where they capitalized. Blake Weir had the puck on the half boards, found a streaking Paul Postma, who...
He had missed, actually, a pass right earlier in the play. I forget who it was across the ice. He just took a little bit too much time and missed the pass, and he made up for it by switching sides, making a nice cross-ice pass, as you said, to Postma. Postma, you know, they drag Peters from one side to the other, and Postma puts the puck where it needs to go, 2-0.
Yeah, Peters got a piece of it, but couldn't quite get over fast enough. Good effort by him. I thought he played a solid game for Carolina. 2-1 Jets. Carolina has the puck in the Jets' end, and they really are just working it around. I thought they really had took control of possession. There's a nice D2D passing with Marc-Andre Bergeron, Tim Gleason and Justin Falk, and they find Ruutu streaking pretty much in the slot, and he walks in and wires one past Pavlik.
Yeah, I thought Ruutu was probably Carolina's best forward tonight, Michael. I thought that line Ruutu LaRose most of the time, but sometimes not on the right side, and Jordan Staal on the left side. I thought that line just really cycled the puck well, used their body position well, went to the net, did a lot of things that you know, you don't necessarily see all the time. I see a lot of quick strike offense now, and they really worked the puck down low, kind of LA Kings style, and I thought they had a really good game. Ruutu was great. He made a really nice move on that goal, inside out. I believe on that goal, what happened was is that Ruutu's coming in. And if I recall correctly, and I know I'm trying to remember.
Burmistrov and Tangrady.
Yeah, exactly. Burmistrov and Tangrady. Burmistrov is the center, so he's the low coverage guy. And Tangrady's the left winger, so he's the point guy. But Burmistrov ends up at the top, covering the left defenseman, or you know, on the left side of the defensive zone, so the right defenseman for Carolina. What then happens is Tangrady has to rotate down. It seemed like there was a blown coverage there, and Bogosian fell down a little bit earlier in the play. Ruutu comes in, makes a really nice move, puts a puck in the net. And again, I thought he was the best Carolina player tonight. When he's healthy, he's really good. He just can't stay healthy.
In the rest of the period, Eric Staal had a penalty. He actually had two penalties, one for interference and one for unsportsmanlike. The Jets had, you know, they had two power plays. I thought they had a few good chances. I remember Burmistrov had that 2-on-1 with Thorburn. There was a chance where Bufflin took a shot, his stick exploded, but they ended up still getting a good chance. It was really back and forth. And the second period was very exciting hockey.
All game, and that's the way Carolina's going to play. And fast team, a team has, you know, some injury issues with no picking in back there, and just overall, I think a talent deficiency, but. A team that does work to its strengths, which is skating, puck movement from the back end, and you know, top end talent. I think, you know, Semin and Eric Staal are top end talent.
So going into the third period, their Jets are up 3-1, and really coming into the third, you want to make sure you hold the lead again, play defensive. But they almost got too defensive near the end of the period, where Carolina was able to come back. But Blake Wheeler started off the scoring for the Jets.
To take 3-1 lead, yeah.
To take the 3-1 lead in the third period, my mistake, where he was sprung on a breakaway by Andrew Ladd.
Ladd to Wheeler.
Yep. And Wheeler pretty much just goes wide and puts it past Peters.
Yeah, great speed, good vision. Ladd starts to play a little, gets the puck up exactly as quickly as he was supposed to, and Wheeler comes in. Wheeler played a really good game. First star tonight, well-deserved. I thought him and Ladd... Little's been really good too, but Ladd and Wheeler are the ones carrying that line. They've been just great. You can't say enough good things about those two guys and how they've taken their game to the next level. I've been thoroughly impressed by them. The play is kind of weird in that Klitsam got tangled up with...
Yeah.
I forget who it was. Maybe it was LaRose? I don't remember who it was. I'm trying to see who's on the ice. I mean, you have who's on the ice there during that play, but I don't really know what happened, and that's what kind of where all of our attention went, and the puck gets up the ice quickly, and... The Jets scored. Yeah, Carolina also, Michael, pinches a lot with their defensemen. Very aggressive at on the defensive blue line and overall. And I thought the Jets took advantage of that on that particular play.
The one thing about that is Blake Wheeler goes for the shot. He's in deke. Dustin Byfuglien had a breakaway earlier where he blocked a shot and took a shot, didn't deke. One thing that amazed me with this team is how little they deke. They usually just go for the shot. I mean, it's a higher percentage play, but maybe it just speaks to the lack of skill or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting observation. I'm not sure if it's a higher percentage play or not. That would also be an interesting stat. But I think, you know, you might have something to that, you know, skill... in terms of the skill, maybe confidence to make those nice plays. The Jets have more players that are going to be straight line guys more than dangle guys, and especially the guys who are going to get the breakaways, like Kane. That's a straight line guy, right? Like, Vermeistrov's a dangler, but he's not a guy who gets a lot of breakaways. So, interesting point.
Now, I thought the Kane, Jokinen, and Welwood line, they had a few shifts where they controlled the play, but I actually thought Kyle Welwood had a pretty terrible game. He made a lot of really bad decisions with the puck, and they just can't get anything going, and the bus is being driven by the first line right now.
Yeah, I mean, Jokinen and Kane playing together is beyond me. I can't even talk about it anymore. Kane needs somebody to play with, and he hasn't been that good anyways. Jokinen's looked okay tonight, which I think tells you more about the Kane's defense than it does about Jokinen, because he's had an awful year. So the Jets are getting by on that one line, Michael. You're exactly right. And some offense from the back end, as you saw tonight, with Byfuglien and Postma scoring.
Yeah, the Byfuglien Tangredi Santorelli line has been, I'd say, been pretty good for a third line the last two games. I mean,
it has been good for a third line. You know, Byfuglien played 18:52 today. Tangredi played 13:41, and Santorelli played 10:40. So Byfuglien obviously playing 4:45 on the power play was 4:45 more than Santorelli and 4:45 more than Tangredi. But at evens, Byfuglien played 14, Santorelli played 10, and Tangredi played just under 14. So, yeah, I think you're right about that. At the same time, you know, it's one of those things where you see guys play really well for five games and they just nothing really show for it.
Right.
How good is it?
Byfuglien, he has the puck a lot. He can carry around. He can deke. But in the end, there's not much that happens there. So it's 3-1.
It's a guy who, like, tells a really long story, and then nothing actually. There's no ending, right? It's like that's what he's like.
There's no.
And then it went here, and then it went here, and then it's like, yeah, what happened? It's like, oh, yeah, and then we went home.
It's like Kramer. I was returning some pants, and I slipped and fell, and ruined the very pants I was returning. That's it. Back to the Jets game. Sort of 3-1. I really thought they did play really defensively the last.
They were, yeah, they weren't very aggressive.
They just dumped it in trying to make the safe play. And we talk about, you see it in football especially too. When you play not to lose,
it
ends up hurting you.
Yeah, I agree. I thought they were a little bit passive. They took some chances a little bit, 4 minutes left. They had some pinches on the defensive zone and the offensive zone by defensemen. But yeah, I do agree, Michael. I thought they were a little bit too passive. And that's a team that's not seasoned. That's a team that hasn't won before, really. It doesn't know how to lock it down. And as you can tell by this game and last game against Tampa Bay, this team can't lock it down.
No. So 12:22 into the third, Jordan Staal has the puck on the half wall, passes it to Marc-Andre Bergeron, takes a slapper, and tipped in by Tomo Ruutu.
Yeah, Tuomo Ruutu going to the net, getting the getting his stick on the puck. It might have gone off the shaft even, but Bergeron just putting the shot. Bergeron's a really good offensive defenseman, got a good shot, and Ruutu goes to the net, like consistently goes to the net, and two goals were scored right from the slot. You know, one from a little bit between the hash marks probably, the other one from right at the top of the crease. And I thought he played, again, saying this for the third or fourth time, but he played a whale of a game, and give Carolina credit for getting that puck through, and you know, the Jets really were back on their heels after that. Carolina really had a lot of chances
after that. Yeah, and it was 18:48 where Carolina is rushing in the puck, and the Jets are playing 3D back. It was Hainsey, Kane, and Jokinen, because one of the Hainsey's partner went up to pinch, and they whip the puck around the boards. Kane kind of lets it go by. Doesn't really make much of an effort.
Yeah,
to get it out, and gets kept.
Both Stalls were on him.
Yeah,
but he had to give it a little more of a fight, pin that puck there, and he lost the puck. You make a great point. He lost the puck, and the puck comes out in front, and who is it? Alex Semin. And who's on coverage?
Dustin Byfuglien.
On coverage, quote unquote. You know, but how many times have we seen that? So again, like, these are things they said at the outset of the podcast. Just go with it. This team, he's not going to change. I mean, he's going to blow the defensive coverage most of the time. This team is making on a wild run, and you know, might as well go for the ride.
Yeah, when we went for a ride. Overtime was some great hockey again, back and forth, and we saw the Jets. They had the puck. I mean, the Jets went down for a chance. Carolina went back for a chance.
Ruto almost ended the game on coming on his off wing for the hat trick shot. Good wrist shot, just missed blocker side.
Yeah, it's like low to the left, and that's always a big challenge when you're taking a shot. Is you don't want to miss it and have the puck ring around all the way around the boards back down the ice, which is
differences.
What
it is what happened there, but the difference is Carolina. It doesn't matter if you lose.
Yeah, Carolina's not playing for the playoffs. The Jets still have something to play for.
Yeah.
So Little gets the puck there, makes the pass to Ladd, who's on a 2-on-1.
And remember, this is at the end of a shift, and Carolina's bagged, and you see Eric Staal, who's a good two-way player, just can't get back. He's just too tired.
So Ladd does what he's been doing the last few games is do his little toe-drag snapshot that has worked so well for him last year and this year. Gets a great rebound that goes right on Bufflin's stick and goes in.
Might have been what, you know, when you're going down the wing, I don't know if they're going to ask, I don't know if Ezzie and Dave were back now, I asked them in the room, David particularly, but a lot of times the shooter, like Ladd, will shoot a low to make sure that if he does miss the shot, he tries to score obviously, but if he does miss the shot, he misses low and there's a rebound, and Dustin Bufflin coming down and nobody was going to stop him. But like when Bo Jackson ran through the tunnel in Seattle, and he scored, and boom, and what a celebration, and this place went bananas, and just, hey, Jets are now continuing to be tied with New York, who won tonight. The Rangers won tonight, the Jets won tonight, the Islanders won tonight.
Washington lost.
Well, they're trailing, now they're Washington lost, so now they're, what, 2 points behind Washington?
I think they're tied with Washington.
Or they're tied with Washington.
They're tied with Washington, but Washington has a game in hand.
I thought they were 2 points behind Washington, and they play the same amount of games. we'll ask the guys and make sure of that, or you can check it on your phone there. But Saturday's game becomes that much more important. And you're playing an afternoon game against the Islanders, who are coming in off of a win against the Leafs.
Where they came back down, they were down 2-0.
2-0 to start the game, and then they were killing them in terms of shots. John Tavares, and quickly, before, you know, we're going to preview this game on 8 o'clock on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, shameless plug. We're going to break down this game in depth. But John Tavares, just quite simply, John Tavares is going to be a difficult guy to defend because the Jets did have issues in their own zone tonight, as they've had all year. I'm sure it'll be an exciting game when the Jets beat him in overtime this year. I think it was a 6-5 game or 5-4 game. Olli Oakland scored off of a Kane rebound in overtime. Same end of the ice, obviously. And we'll see. But a must-win game, and you go from must-win game to must-win game to must-win game. And that makes it fun for the fans. It makes it fun for the players. You're getting to see who's really... You know, this. If they don't make the playoffs, and I think the odds are... I don't know what the odds are right now. I'd say, 40, 45, but just a guess, but... I think at the end of the day, Michael, what you're seeing right now is Wheeler and Ladd really turning their games up. Certain players are really playing well.
I think Bogosian has about 6 points in the last three games.
He's been really good. Yeah, really good. And Pavlik's really been great. So this shows you something for next season, regardless of if you make it or not.
Yeah, well, as you said, it's going to be a fun ride, and it continues Saturday at 2 p.m. against the Islanders. So that's a huge game. So that's it for the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm your host, Michael Remus. You're going to want to follow Legal Curve on Facebook, facebook.com/LegalCurve. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/LegalCurve or @LegalCurve. Our website, www.illegalcurve.com. Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show airs at a special time from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on TSN 1290. And that's it for the Legal Curve post-game podcast. For Richard Pollock, I'm Michael Remus. See you on Saturday.